So we're starting on Membet Amud Aleph with the Mishnah. Hamudar hana'am echavero lifnei shvi'it, eino yored letoch sadeu, ve'eino ochel min hanotot. Okay, if you remember, what did we learn? We learned that on Shnat Shemitah, all your fruits are hefker. And then we learned also that your field is hefker. For what purposes? For people to come and pick your fruits, right? But that we also learned that if they're not coming to pick your fruits, then it's not hefker, right? Your field is only hefker in the sense that it allows people to pick your fruits. So if you are not allowed to get hana'ah from someone, okay, you're mudar hana'ah mechavero, so before Shnat Shemitah, you're not allowed to go into his field at all. And you can't eat from notot, our trees that are growing outside of his property. So if they're going outside his property, you still can't eat. Even though you're not going into his field to pick them, you also can't eat his fruits because they don't belong to you. They belong to him. But bashvi'it, eino yored letoch sadehu. Okay, but on Shnat Shemitah, you can't go into his field. Aval ochel hu min hanitiyot hanotot. But you can pick his fruits that are hanging outside his property because those fruits are hefker. And that you're allowed to do, but you can't go into his field, which we're going to discuss later. Nadar hemenu ma'achal, which we actually saw one of the reasons why this is. Remember that you can't go into the field because Shema Yashem, maybe you'll stay there too long. And we learn from there. Why did we bring it up? Because we learn from there about a sick person. You go to visit a sick person, even if you don't generally, they don't pay people to visit you, but you might stay for overstay your stay. And then you actually would get to the point where he would need to pay you for something like that. Okay. What if Nadar Hemenu Ma'achal? Let's say you say you can't get any food from me. So lifnei shvi'it, before Shnat Shemitah, yored letoch sadeu, ve'eino ochel min haperot. So you can go into his field, because he didn't say you can't get any hana'ah from me, he just said you can't benefit from food from me. But you can't eat his fruits. U'bashvi'it, yored ve'ochel. But on Shnat Shemitah, since it's only ma'achal, and all your food is hefker, so he can not only come into your field, he can also eat your fruits. Okay, now we're going to have... Okay, look at the chart for a minute. We're going to see that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish each have a different understanding of the first case of our Mishnah. Okay, that's going to be our main focus, the first case. Then, if you look further down, we're going to try to discuss what's the basis for the machloket. We're going to have two different attempts. We're going to reject them all, and then we're going to come up with a totally different interpretation as to what Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are talking about at all. Okay, so it's going to be a bunch of things that we're going to learn and then kind of relearn and reject. Rav Shmuel Damrei Travayu. Rav and Shmuel both said, Nechasim Elu Alecha. If you say, my Nechasim are forbidden to you, okay? Nechasim Elu, sorry, I didn't say that right. Nechasim Elu Alecha. These Nechasim, not mine, these objects are forbidden to you. Lifnei Shvi'it, if you said it before Shnat Shemitah, so then, okay, now here, there's going to be a big difference in terms of what Rav and Shmuel and the way Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish read this. Rav and Shmuel are reading it, that what does it mean that you said this? You said this, when we say, lifnei shvi'it u'bashvi'it, it means, there could be two options here. One is, are we talking about now it happens to be before shvi'it, and now it's shvi'it, and what's the law, what can you eat, what can't you eat on shvi'it or before shvi'it, which is the way we kind of read the Mishnah simply. Or could it be that it's talking about when you took the neder, when you said this statement? Okay, and we'll see why it's relevant. So Rav and Shmuel said it depends when you said the statement. So if you said Nechasim Elu Alecha before Shnat Shemitah, okay, Lifnei Shvi'it, what happens? You say these Nechasim are forbidden to you. Now, what do we assume? That on Shvi'it, what happens? All your stuff becomes hefker. So the question is, you said it before Shnat Shemitah when it wasn't hefker and you owned these possessions. When it became after Shnat Shemitah, when it became Shnat Shemitah and those things are now hefker, is your statement still applicable or not? Because it no longer belongs to you. Okay, so you made a statement, right? So you made a statement in year number 5, okay? That this property is forbidden to you. And this property was yours at the time. Okay, and you said this property, right? Now, when it comes the 7th year, that stuff becomes hefker. So
it's still this property.
It's still this property. Okay, so the question is going to be, what happens? So lifnei shvit, if you made the neder before shnat shmitah, then, I'm just adding words here that doesn't say, but this is what it means, then even when shnat shmitah comes, ein yored l'toch sadehu ve'eno ochel min hanotot, af al pi shigia shvit. Okay, here, there he adds the word, sorry, I forgot, they do say it after. So even though shigia shnat shmitah, since you said this property, and this property meant this property. Now, what's the issue here? The question is, when you do a konam, right, you forbid something, a neder, is it treated like hekdesh or not? If you do this with hekdesh, once you say something's hekdesh, it's entirely forbidden forever. Doesn't matter if it no longer belongs to you or not, right? When you turn something into hekdesh, it's always forbidden. The difference with a neder is that a neder is only forbidden to a particular person or a particular group of people. It doesn't have the same blanket, forbidden status as does hekdesh. So the question is, are we going to judge it like hekdesh, that once forbidden, always forbidden, even if it doesn't belong to the guy who was madir hana'ah from the other guy, right, the guy who made the neder? Or do we say, no, that's not the case? So according to Rav and Shmuel, it stays. So now, v'im b'shvi'it nadar, but if he made the neder on shnat shmitah, so ein yored l'toch sadeu, he can't go into his field, aval ochel min hanotot, right? He can't go into the field for other reasons we'll talk about later. But he can still eat from his notot because it didn't apply. It wasn't his to be discussing, right? The fruits weren't his. Maybe, you know, he said, nechasim elo alecha, could include other property of his, but not food-related property. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Barish Lakish da Amri Travayu, nechasai alecha. If you say, so now they made a statement about something else. They talked about nechasai alecha. If my, okay, now we're saying my possessions are forbidden to you. So lifnei shvi'it, ein yored l'toch sadeu ve'ein ochel min hanotot. If it's before shnat shmitah, then you can't go into the guy's field and you can't eat from any of his fruits, because he said, all my possessions are forbidden to you. But higia shvi'it, when shvi'it comes, eino yored l'toch sadeu, aval ochel hu et hanotot. Okay? So he can now, once Shemitah comes, what happens? He can now, he said, my possessions, my property. So since he said mine, this is no longer his. And therefore, on Shnat Shemitah, it's okay, right? Okay, so now, it seems what the Gemara is saying is that the debate, now it's, what's strange here is each of them said, right, it's a different term, nechasim elo alecha or nechasai alecha. But the Gemara seems to indicate that that's not really what the issue of the machloket is. The issue is really what happens when you make a neder before shnat shmitah and shnat shmitah comes. Does it uproot? Does the hefker mean that you no longer, right? Are we going to treat it like hekdesh, once forbidden, always forbidden? Or are we going to say, no, the status of it changed? We saw this before, like if you give someone the stuff as a matana, and then does that remove it from his property, and then whatever he said about it isn't relevant anymore or not? So that's what the Gemara's first attempt is going to be. So the Gemara says now, Lema b'hakam mipalget. Let's say that this is what their machloket is. D'Rav Shmuel Savre, Adam osir davar shebir shuto, afilu l'chashayetze mir shuto. Rav and Shmuel say, when someone forbids something in a konam, right, in a neder, they're going to forbid it, even, right, you can take any of your property, anything that belongs to you, and forbid it forever, even if it's no longer yours. And that's why they claim that when it becomes hefker, it doesn't matter. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rish Lakish Savre, Ein Adam Osir Davar Shebirshuto, L'Chashayetze Mirushuto. Okay? A man does not forbid something. He only forbids it as long as it's in his possession. But once it leaves his possession, he has no control over it anymore. That can be mutar. That's the first attempt. Then the Gemara says, V'tizbara, could that really be? Now the question's going to be, if you look at it, you follow the chart, question's going to be on Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Okay, we're on the second part of the second chart on the page. Could it really be? We're going to have, as you see here on the chart, two questions. Could it be that that's what Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish say? First question. Mi ika lamanda amar en adam of ser devar shebrishuto l'chashayetze mirushuto? Is there really somebody who holds that? Okay, the Gemara doesn't think that anybody holds that. Okay, that Adam is not osir davar shebrishuto when once it leaves your reshut, okay, meaning once forbidden, always forbidden. That's what the Gemara thinks right now. And if there was someone who said this, and if Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are really in fact saying this, what should they have, which case should they have brought if that's what they wanted to teach? Im ken, niflage b'nechasim elu. B'kol shekem b'nechasai. What did we say? If you say my property is forbidden, it's much easier to say that once it becomes hefker, you weren't referring to that because you were referring to my property and it's no longer my property. And that was the case Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish brought. Mm-hmm. But if they really wanted to express the point that they think that once you, that if you forbid something and it leaves your reshut, it's no longer forbidden, then they should have brought the case of this property. Because even what their chidush would be, that even if you say, nechasim elu alecha, this property is forbidden to you, that's only in as much as you own that property. But as soon as that property leaves your ownership, you no longer have rights to forbid someone else to that property. Right? If this, this Tanakh belongs to me, so I can say anything I want about it. But as soon as this Tanakh leaves my house and goes and belongs to somebody else, how can I possibly forbid it to you? That's the assumption of what Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are saying. Once it leaves my property, it's not mine to say anything about. So the whole Isur gets removed, and then the Chiddush would be even greater if I said it on not my Tanakh, because obviously it's not my Tanakh once it leaves my house, but if I said it on this Tanakh, then once this Tanakh is no longer in my house, well then their Chiddush is, even though you would think it would continue, their Chiddush is, an Adam, is only Osir what's in his possession. Once it leaves his possession, the Neder is off. So they should have said that, and therefore it doesn't make sense that that's really what they're saying.
But how could I make a neder altogether
on something that's not mine? I was thinking that.
No, you made the neder on something that was yours.
I understand.
And then it left your reshut, but the neder you made originally is still valid.
It's still my property. Whether you say it's my property or this property, I have this right now. So I could say, you can't have this, or this is mine, and you
Because, no, you're right. At the moment, it's all the same. But when it leaves your possession, if you said this, it would be more likely. Again, it's all a matter of more likely or less likely, because we don't know what there's different opinions about what to do with it. The question is, where is it most likely? If you said this, then it's more likely to say that it would remain forbidden because you said it on the object and not on the person. We've discussed this with neder nidava. That's the whole difference of responsibility. If you say this behema is on me, or I will bring a behema. So if you say this behema and the behema dies, so you don't have to bring another behema in its place. But if you say I will bring it, then you still have to bring it. So it's a matter of, there's ramifications for whether you say mine or this.
But the problem is once it leaves your property, it's not yours whether it was yours to begin with or not. It's still not yours.
Yes. So according to Rav and Shmuel, it doesn't matter. Once you forbade it, it's forbidden to the guy forever. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, at least what we think right now, once it leaves your property, it's not yours anymore. But again, that would be a bigger chiddush if they said it on this and not my, because my would be more obvious, and they want to make the bigger chiddush that it's across the board. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that that's really what they hold. Second question, v'tu, and all the more so, hatnan is a mishnah that says, da adam osir davar shebirshuto l'chashiyetzei mirshuto. There's a mishnah that says exactly this, that someone is, someone forbids something in their property, even after it leaves his property. How do we know? Ditznan. Here's a Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah's in Bava Kamma and in Mem Zayin. Okay, it'll be on Daf Mem Zayin. Adam ha'omer lebeno konam sha'ata neheneli. Okay, he says to his son, you will not benefit from me. Mate yirashena. Okay, if he dies, the son inherits him. But b'chayav u'bimoto, if he says to his son, you will not benefit from me in my life and in my death. Imet lo yirashena. Okay, if he dies, you will not inherit him. Okay, now, here's a little strange because it brings two different cases. So, what the Gemara wants to say at this point is, if you notice from the second case, that there is a way that someone could forbid something, right? And, one second, the first case is saying, Kodam Shatana Haneli, the second case is showing when he says Bechayav Ubim Moto, and then it continues even after his death when it no longer belongs to him because he's no longer alive, you see that there is a way that something continues even though it's not in your reshut, it continues to be forbidden to the person. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, that's not a good proof, as you, I assume you are all thinking, because Shane Hacha de Ka'amarle b'chayavu b'motel. In other words, you could try to make an argument, yes, there is some case where this happens, but this case works only because he said it explicitly. But otherwise, in all these other cases, he hasn't said anything explicitly, and therefore, that's not a really good proof at all. But what does the Gemara say? Mikom akom kasha. But in any case, we still have, there's a few different ways to understand this, but I'll go with the basic, which is, in any case, we still have the first question. Because the first question still holds. Right? Remember, which is, does anyone really hold that way? Like Rabbi Yochanan, like we thought Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, and even if they did, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish should have said it, right? They should have said this property instead of my property. So now we're going to have option number two, which, like I said, also is going to be rejected. Ella b'nechasim elu. Now, right, the first one didn't focus so much on the difference in the way one said mine and one said this. Now we're going to say, wait. B'nechasim elu kule amalo pligi. Everybody agrees if you say this Tanakh is forbidden, then what will be? Even after it leaves my possession, it's going to be forbidden. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. And that answers our question, right? Could anybody possibly say this? Boki pligi b'nechasai. The machloket is if I say my property. So Rabbi Shmuel savre loshna nechasim elu, loshna nechasai. Adam oser. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you say my property or this property. Rabbi and Shmuel think across the board, if I forbid something, it's forbidden forever. And Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Rish Lakish savre nechasim adam oser. Nechasai en adam oser. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, and that answered our first question, basically, which is, it depends whether you say mine or this. If you say this, then it's going to be forbidden forever. If you say mine, then it's only going to be forbidden as long as it's yours. And once it leaves your possession, your neder is no longer valid.
And shouldn't Rav and Shmuel have said my to make the case even stronger?
Right, you could say that. Right. You could say that they should have said that. That would have made sense. I agree. That's a good question. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't ask it. Okay, right? Because what Aviva was saying is, the Gemara should have said, Rav and Shmuel should have said, Nechasai, even mine. You're going to see the Gemara is going to reject this anyway. So they don't say that that's the reason, but that's a good reason. So now the Gemara is going to ask a different question, which is, V'hatnan ha'omer l'chavero. They probably didn't ask that question because they have a better question, because they have a question from a Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chavero, konam l'toch betecha sh'ani nichnas. Okay, it will be forbidden for me to go into your house. Okay, so what's the lashon here? Yours, right? Sadcha sh'ani lokech. Okay, your field will be forbidden to me that I will not purchase it. Mate, o shemachro la'acher, mutar. If you die or sell it to someone else, it's mutar. So now what do you see? That if you say mine, right? Rav and Shmuel can't disagree with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that it leaves your, right? It's no longer forbidden. So here you see that it can't be that Rav and Shmuel are actually saying that. Now it tells the flip. Lebayit zesh ani nechnas. Okay, this house. Now we're on to this one. Shani nechnas. Here's a continuation of the Mishnah. Sade zo shani lokech. Meit o shemacharu la'acher asur. So now what do you see? Everybody agrees, basically. Unless, right, at this point and even further on, we're not going to find that there's some other Tana that said otherwise. So it seems very clear from the Mishnah that if you say mine, the Isur gets removed. If you say this, then the Isur stays, even after. So if that's the case, it can't be what Rav and Shmuel were arguing about. So therefore, we don't know anymore what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. So what does the Gemara answer now? Elaki amre Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish b'nechasai v'Rav Shmuel b'nechasim elu v'lo pligi. Okay, now they just say that each one was referring to a different case, and they're not cholik at all. One was saying, this is what it would be if nechasim elu alecha, and the other one was saying, what it would be if you said nechasai. And that's what they're talking about. And therefore, in the end, there's no machloket at all. So we spent a long time trying to figure out what was their machloket all about. And in the end, we conclude that they weren't really arguing, in fact, and that really they were just bringing, they were just talking about different cases. Okay. By the way, it's the Yerushalmi brings this sugya, and instead of Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, it's Rabbi Yochanan versus Rish Lakish, and one says one and one says the other. So clearly there was confusion about the Masoret of what exactly this whole machloket was about, who was arguing, what was arguing. There was a lot of confusion here because it comes in different ways. And even though the Gemara concludes this, I've said this many times, it doesn't necessarily mean that it could be just because we don't have a ton of Eidic source that shows us a machloket about it. Maybe there was a machloket in the Tanya. Maybe Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish really did disagree about this. We don't really know. But the Gemara, being what it had in front of it and what it knew, couldn't, right? They weren't confident enough to say, this is a machloket, right? They were pushed into a corner to say, it must be they were talking about two totally different things. But I'm just raising the fact that it's really unclear here what was going on, and the Gemara comes to a conclusion, but, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily the only possible conclusion. Last section here. Ubashvi'it ein yored letoch sadeh. Okay, so when it comes to Shemitah, right now we're on the line about, right, so in the first case, Hamudar Hanam Echavero, Lifnei Shvi'it eino yored letoch sadeh veino ochel min anotot, but on the Shvi'it, eino yored letoch sadeh, and now we're getting to our important line, aval ochel hu min hanitiyot anotot. Sorry, okay, right, sorry. We're talking about the important line was eino yored letoch sadeh, right? Why can't you go into the guy's field? Because if you can eat from his fruits, what do we learn? That you're allowed to go into someone's field to pick their fruits because their field is hefker for the purposes of picking fruits. So now we're going to try to understand what's the issue here. Why does the Mishnah say that you can't go into his field? Maishna de ochel min anotot de peri de hefkera inun. Aranami afkara. What's the difference between eating and going into the field? If you can eat from the ones that are outside the property, well, that's because the perot are hefker. And if the perot are hefker, then the land should also be hefker to allow you to go into his field to pick. So Amar Ula, now we're going to have a machloga. We saw one answer, but now we're going to see two answers. Amar Ula, ba'omdim ilanot al hagvulin. If the ilanot are on the border of his property. So now you have two options. Either you can pick them from outside his property, or you can go inside his property. So what Ula is saying is, even though we allow you to go into his property to pick fruits, it's only, the field is only hefker so long as you need to pick fruits. Now, in this case, you don't need to go into the field to pick the fruits because you can pick the fruits from outside his property. Mm-hmm. So if you're a regular person, great, go into his field. But if you're mudar hana'ah from the guy, then you can't go into his field if you have an option to get the fruits without going into his field. That's what he claims. So according to Ula, if the fruits were in the middle of his field, then you'd be allowed to go into his property. So when it says, "Eino yored letoch sadeh," it's only in a case where the trees are on the border. And that's why you're allowed to go get them, because otherwise, that's why you're not allowed to go into the field, because you have an option. But if you didn't have an option, it was in the middle of the field, you'd be allowed to. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim amar, gzerah shema yishheh ba'amidah. Right? He says the one we learned before, which is that if you go into the field, and then according to him, it would be anywhere in the field, right? Even in the middle of the field, or even maybe all the more so in the middle of the field, it would be forbidden for you to go in because you might end up standing there long term. So according to him, the only ones you'd ever be able to pick are the ones that are coming outside the property that you can get without going in, and you can actually never go into the field. Whereas according to Ula, you can't go into the field only if you have a way to do it otherwise. But if you have no other way, then you're allowed to go into the field. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll start up with the Mishnah tomorrow.